is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And I was nighttime when they woke up to find her lying beside my bed, softly said, "Come take me."
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I hope you enjoyed that little snippet of a song by Wendell Stewart. Play Me. It's a cover. It's a popular song. But I couldn't let Mr. Dwight Strawn out Monday mornings make me cry, you know, out existential dread me this morning. I had to go find some nice bohemian music to do the very, very same thing, to start this wonderful rainy Wednesday morning. Good morning. I hope you are safe out there. I hope you are listening to the radio on your phone and not using your phone as you drive through this wet weather this morning. That's very important. Because if you are distracted by what's going on in your phone, you won't see all of those people who are forced to use the streets on foot. All the pedestrians this morning that have to walk through the rain-soaked roads, please drive carefully. Please don't splash anybody. Please be kind. Please practice spatial awareness. Practice empathy. You in your car now, but one pothole later, and you could be on the side of the road too, wondering how many months will it take for that one part to get to Nassau to fix your car. It's very important. So this morning, we are in the news. I'm telling you what I found and I think we should talk about, and I'd like you to call or text and tell me what you found and you think we should talk about. Remember, we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. If you got to move away from your radio, you could listen on TV on Cable Bahamas, channel 969 or channel 612 if you're on Flow. You can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line as 422-GR96, as 422-4796. And remember, that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Remember, you could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. I want to say happy birthday to a couple of people, to artist extraordinaire June Owen, to another phenomenal artist, Sonia Farmer, to Tessina Carey, to Portia Cartwright, to Shari Innes Grant, my colleague in Barbados. Happy belated birthday to Mr. Chester Robards, who's just on. And we say in advance, happy birthday to Orinthia Komolafe, that celebrates a birthday tomorrow morning. I also want to say shout out to all the staff at NIB Fox Hill. Their service was so fast and efficient and effective that I didn't even have enough time to sit and stare at that mango tree nearby and plot how I was going to get some mangoes. I have to try some of these mangoes. I got to figure out who owns this tree, because this tree produces mangoes twice a year. Twice a year. I need to see what those mangoes taste like. I also want to send a very special good morning to all of the security officers in the country, in New Providence. Right now, I want to say thank you, particularly those security officers who instantly become protocol officers when they start working at some establishments. I want to say good morning to everybody. Says good morning to you, because everybody recognizes the extent to which some of these businesses and systems cannot function without you, Mr. or Mrs. Security Guard, doing what you're doing, even though you're not getting paid to do what you do. And so I'm hoping the public and some of these companies that you've been subcontracted out to will see it in their hearts, right? To lobby the state to ensure that every single security company is following the Employment Act, that security officers are being paid according to the law, they're being scheduled according to the law, that if they work over the allotted, what is it, 40 hours a week, that they get overtime pay. If they work on holidays, they get extra pay. Security officers are not uniformed forces. And they should not be treated as such without the benefits and compensation for the sacrifice that uniformed forces make. This is an extremely important point. Somebody has to provide oversight for the sake of the workers. And this is an entire space that is completely and totally unregulated. Now, why that is also important beyond, you know, the quality of life and the treatment of people working in a country who, in its preamble to the Constitution, reminds us that no man shall be enslaved for their labor. They will be compensated for their work in this country. But that's going to be, well, I want to draw back to that later in the conversation, because I want to talk about a couple of articles in the paper over the last couple of days. One of those is Monroe expresses concerns over number of people on bail being murdered. Second article, nearly half of murder victims were on bail for homicide. So we could draw back to that in a second. I want to say, check out, although I'm not like directing you to my competitor, but I'm saying check out Alicia Wallace's column in today's Tribune on the Roe v. Wade issue. That's one of the things I want to talk about today. On June 24th, the Supreme Court of the U.S., United States of America, overturned Roe versus Wade, a controversial 1973 case that resulted in abortion being deemed a constitutional right for women. Nearly 50 years ago, the victory meant that state abortion laws like the ones in Texas where the case was brought were struck down. And so I want to ask you today, following on our conversation from yesterday, what do you believe? Are you pro-abortion, anti-abortion, pro-choice, pro-life? And do you believe, well, I'll ask the question, is this a legal issue, a religious issue, a human rights issue, or is it a political issue? A couple of things I want to talk about. Two other stories. One, PHA refers alleged incident involving minor to the RBPF. And in today's papers, we know that story is devolving, unfolding in the paper. The second story, child abducted in Grand Bahama. 9-year-old girl abducted from home, allegedly abducted from home, found walking in the streets later that morning. There was an oil spill on Portiskey, apparently. Fishermen are watching it. I don't know why only fishermen are watching it. This is not one of those don't watch nothing moments. Then I got another question about feminine hygiene protection. We have plans and protocols and even special units for essential items and priority services. But what about feminine hygiene protection? Then I have some questions. Who can demand Adrian Gibson's resignation? I saw a story on the news. I thought those were some interesting questions. Who can demand his resignation? Is it constituents, a party? Supporters, card-carrying members? It's an interesting, interesting conversation. And with the earlier conversation, I want to ask the question, what is child abuse? We're still grappling with the question of what is rape. We still haven't figured that out yet, but maybe we could start with something maybe a little less difficult, maybe. What is child abuse? So those are some of the things I want to talk about this morning. And that's even before I get to the paper. There's an article here, woman convicted of murder. It took a jury 30 minutes to unanimously convict Nadisha Beckford of the murder of her girlfriend. Wow. Let me get to some of these texts. Good morning, texters. Great show as usual, Miss Green. Question, how would life turn out if the least favorite child was the blue-eyed baby, and the reverse, if the blue-eyed baby was the black sheep, would their life turn out differently? Okay, another text says, if a mango tree bears twice a year, don't eat from that tree from Cat Island, and may not be saved. But you know, we could learn a lot from the mango tree. And another text says, the tamarind switch is child abuse. I agree with you. I wonder how many people agree with you. I got a text here that says, call us, I come in right now. I got a text here that says, Aaron, why is the first, second, and third stories in our nightly news in our country always crime? Can we find some positive stories and make them the lead stories? I know negativity gets ratings, but I challenge our news outlets and newspapers to be more original. Put positive stories as the lead stories and put the crime stories in the crime section. Okay, Texter, I'm glad you said that. Because I had a question, you know. I was going to talk about that. I was going to ask if we are seeing an official policy where we are not reporting serious crime in the paper. Like, we're not prioritizing the reporting of serious crime. That's what I was going to ask. But it was really going to start with the question of, are we not calling rape, rape, in an attempt to protect the tourism industry? And is it worth it? Is it anti-ethical? Like, you know, does it, like, it don't make sense? It's not going to solve the problem. That's what I was going to ask. We're going to get into that. Let me go to this caller. Thank you for that text, Texter. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Hi, good morning. How you doing?
All right, Ms. Green. You know, in the news, right, I guess it's in the papers, well, with this NIB investments by the government. Mm-hmm. But then, like, yesterday they talk about the increase in the contributions. Now they're talking about investment. Why split them up, you know? And, you know, my what I want to ask you is, do you know anything about NIC in the U.K.?
Oh, what's that, national insurance?
National insurance contribution.
No, I don't.
Okay, that's the equivalent of NIB.
Okay.
See, this insurance just takes care of pensioners, and all pensioners get, no matter what they contribute, they get the same thing.
Right.
And non-contributors don't get pension from this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they get health care. This is where NHS gets its money from, along with other taxes.
I got you.
Right? As well as the old folks get their, you understand, their old folks' homes and the like, and also services get their money from this. You know, and the only thing that the non-contributors don't get is the pension.
Right, but they get health care.
But they get health care and other social assistance, right?
Yeah.
Now, and also, what they have is a mandated employment insurance besides this NIC. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
So we in this country, we need to get with it and do the things, do the progressive things, and the PLP call themselves progressive. They need to bring the income tax. You know,
yes.
They need to mandate the employment insurance, and they need to fix NIB. And stop making it the be all and end all. And plus, NIC in the UK go to the consolidated fund.
It does.
It didn't go to no, you know, that's where it goes.
Okay.
You see, and the government decides what the contributions will be in Parliament every year.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and they subsidize it, whatever they deem is necessary, they do it. And it doesn't stand alone. Money's come from other places, subsidized, and you know that is whatever the responsibilities of NIC has. You see, so we need to get with it in this country, man, and stop pandering to these people who want to pay taxes. You see, government needs to do that.
Now, listen, that's a radical idea, because I'm more and more getting the impression that this place is for those people who don't want to pay taxes. But the only way for it to work is somebody gonna pay taxes. It's just not those people. But listen, you made a point that I really appreciate. And it's a common thread in your commentary and mine. If you look at today's Tribune, the first story, top of the fold, make the deal. Roll sees plea bargains as a way to clear backlogs and protect suspects out on bail. Now, this is not a critique of the commissioner, more a critique of the culture of policing and governance around crime. Right? I'm concerned that this is another instance where the citizens' rights will be restricted or reduced or even trampled on, because the government have to figure out how to do something they're supposed to be doing. Right? As a victim of a crime, I don't want to be presented with the idea that a plea bargain was offered because that's the easiest way to do it, or it's the quickest way to do it, or because we have a backlog. We've had a backlog. The judiciary has been in crisis 20 years a minimum. Why is it now with my case you need a plea bargain to be able to do this? Now, there are a number of articles in the paper today that follow this discussion, right? If you turn to page 5 of today's Tribune, you'll see another headline, Monroe, trials more efficient after rule changes, right? And Mr. Monroe said, well, let me read from the article and we begin. While admitting that an issue facing criminal court cases is generally the preparedness of the prosecution to proceed, National Security Minister Monroe said a lot of rules have now been put in place to make trials more efficient. His comments came after Prime Minister Brave Davis, Philip Brave Davis, on Monday asserted that courts have to, quote, step up in regards to hearing murder cases. Mr. Davis also called on Bahamians to be ready when called upon to be jurors. And so, within these three articles, these two articles, we see three individuals, the Prime Minister, the Commissioner of Police, and Minister of National Security, indicating that there are problems and what the problems are. And we've known what the problems are for such a long time. Why is it that the victim is required to sacrifice something? Why? Why can't y'all just fix it? The Commissioner of Police raised a similar issue when discussing the lack of functionality or efficiency of the coroner's court and the lack of coroners available, prompting him to create his own impromptu or informal committee to do the same work, essentially. Why continually are citizens made to suffer because the government can't figure out how to do its job? Let's take a pause for a moment. Let's go to the call. Producer, please. One second. Call it, hold the line. Don't watch nothing. We're coming right now. So in that article, in that story with the second story, Monroe trials more efficient after rule changes, Mr. Monroe references a report that was produced before 2000 with recommendations on how to address case backlogs. That's 22 plus years ago, people. It's 22 plus years ago. But that's why I keep demanding that professionals create guilds and associations and document their work in journals. So we don't have to sit here and say, oh, well, we paid for a report, but we don't know where it is. When the government say, oh, we can't find a report, we could say, oh, no, it was published in this issue of this professional journal. Let's go to the calls. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Grant. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, on the Adrian Gibson case, I think the acronym is in the Tango. Red, they can't move from his seat.
Right.
Why? Because I have 2 points. Or if you get to put that forward.
Uh-huh.
They can't move from his seat, but they probably thinking how to excommunicate him from the acronym body.
Yeah, maybe that's what they have to do.
Yeah, well, difficult to do that because Long Island folks want him.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the majority. They now, put up a petition, but I don't know.
I heard an interesting comment last night on one of the news stations from a Long Island resident who, to me, it seemed like she was saying, listen, I support Long Island. I support the FNM. And not necessarily Adrian Gibson, but she could support whatever the FNM thinks is right for that constituency.
And that's a tangent, babe. We got to look at interesting. But my second point, with the flooding issue, I'm hoping that they took some of the ideas we talk about. I think I heard the Minister Wei talk about it. Number one, a pumping station and a low-lying area to pump the water out. I've heard the Minister about to put a well, open up open wells so the water can run in there, run out.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, not just problem for all the low-lying areas would need a pumping station to pump the water out.
Absolutely.
You see, I'm sure, I don't know, you're familiar with American. In Florida,
mm-hmm.
they do that when the water is very high.
Yeah.
So they flood, they pump that water out. So they're hoping that these could be revolution. The flooding and solve most of the flood problem in our country.
Absolutely. We need to figure out how we can capture the water and use it.
Yes. But Aaron, yeah. Green, yeah. I watched something in Israel the other day. They recycle the water.
Yeah.
Recycle the water that is in the
ground. And listen, irrigation, the energy costs and the cost of water associated with irrigating a farm and farming is so high. If we could somehow reduce that cost by capturing this water and redirecting it to farmers, and if
right.
we could turn some public green spaces into grow spaces, then we could divert that water to those public spaces to ensure that those fruit trees and perennials, year-round
right.
growing things, can continue to grow.
What?
Go on.
But the private sector could do that. They have to rely on the government to do that.
Absolutely.
There's a gentleman now, he has this machine that brings air, the air, and turns it into water.
Uh-huh.
I know mm-hmm. you all saw that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's selling it, and it's fresh.
I know. And to be honest with you, the private sector, I about to talk to them too, like I talked to the political sector.
Uh-huh.
There is a status that you claim in this society, but we need you to fulfill that prophecy by doing and being the things that you say you are to all people. But listen, I got to go. I got another
all right,
call on the line. Thank you very, very much. Wonderful contributions. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question concerning the crime that's going on in this country and the comment that the Prime Minister made concerning the court system.
Okay.
I'm surprised to hear a comment like that from someone like him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very surprised, as a matter of fact, because he is and has been a lawyer in the country in that same system and did nothing, said nothing all these years to help the system out. And that's why it amazed me that the comment he made is if he is shocked and surprised to know that the system, I am nothing to do with law enforcement or the court system, the judicial system, and I know the system is backed the devil up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making such a comment as if this is a new thing to him.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed in him for saying it in such a manner, because that's his livelihood. That's where he worked. That's what his thing is.
Yeah.
You understand me?
Yes.
And with the crime that's going on, I am kind of shocked again at Mr. Monroe, because here he is boarding with Crown Land as if that's his portfolio. Instead of trying to do something with the crime, I don't see him or hear him or deal daily trying to work on that. Every now and again, he makes a comment. However, he is foot to foot on these people concerning the Crown Land situation, which I know it needs to be dealt with. But I don't think it needs to go that high up to him, because somebody else's portfolio is Crown Land, not his.
I feel you. I feel you.
So I feel like he needs to focus on what his portfolio is, deal with crime, let us hear something going down with those numbers, and then, you know, he can help out wherever else. But he's needed in that department right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the, you know, whatever the issues are with morale in the force, they need all hands on deck reassuring the officers that they have the senior administration, it's traitors' ears and the politicians' ears, because it's the people on the ground.
And they're backing.
Yes, ma'am.
It's one thing to have their ear when the officers go there and do their job, to have them being told, hold on, don't touch that one. You know better than touching that person, because that person is so-and-so. You understand me? They need their backing. If they lock up the Prime Minister's son, it should be said, you know what? If you all assume that he do something, let the court prove him innocent.
Absolutely.
Not jump in there and cut out who they want to cut out and help who they want to help along the way.
Because,
you know, but he needs to more now than ever focus on crime.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Let's get to the text line, and then we're going to take a quick break. Text here that says, good morning. The abortion issues stem from a lack of sexual education for preteens and teens. If they are educated about their sexual health and reproduction, they can make more informed decisions about their sexual health activity. The next issue is that when teens become sexually active, they are not given access to contraception without a parent or guardian's consent. Increasing the age of consent is not a solution to this problem, but will add fuel to the unsafe abortion fire. And I think we are missing out a big, thank you very much, Texas. I think we're missing out a massive element in this discussion. We have a lot of young people who experience early initiation into sex, right? Whether it is early initiation into having sex, like they are raped, they are sexually assaulted and then raped, they are introduced to pornography and adult content at too early an age. We're talking about both boys and girls here. But I am very concerned that a lot of our young people are young, very young, 8, 9, 10 and up, are being forced into prostitution. So I wanted to ask the question, how many people in this country right now you think are engaging in transactional sex? That's like when you have sex for things, but I don't want you to think that I mean things, like people are being tingsy. I mean things, like rent, like a place to stay, like somewhere for my children to sleep safely. Or like in an alternative, like I have a place to stay, but I'm not safe. I can't really control who could come in. I need a man in this space, right? So I could protect my turf, some of these communities. How many young people are engaging in transactional sex? How many young girls are engaging in sexual relationships and pseudo-romantic relationships with older men because they need things like feminine hygiene protection? Which is why we need to have that secondary conversation about why there's no unit for something that 50% plus of your population need. Producer, let's go to that call dead quick, and then after that call, we'll go to the break. Definite, definite. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
God bless it. Big up, Gardner, for always promoting the real situation on the ground, you know. And so I'm listening to you with these scenarios. I'm very disturbed. You know, I have two daughters. One is pretty much young, and so I would go out of my mind, right, and would stop talking if someone was to bother it up and just apparently find the best way and the most secretive way to do what I have to do, because it is sickening to me now. I would like to just, you know, everybody should know this. All of this events that you're talking about, poverty leads to this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a result of poverty. Because, you know, in the city, I've seen these things. So you're talking about things, it could just be food.
Mm-hmm.
And the globalists and the people know that this is the vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little joke for you, Aaron.
Yeah.
You want to find the Oban Fires yet? Bless it.
Hey, listen, and that's at the root of it. And that's why the need for serious critique of governance and then the importation of politics, right? The critique of governance and how politics thwarts, that's T-H-W-A-R-T-S, thwarts the true function of government. Because you swear, it's like some of these state actors must be sitting in their room saying, well, look here, I care how I can solve the problem. And it's like, but you're getting paid to solve it. In fact, your salary reflects the difficulty of the work or the nature of the work that you are obligated to do in this job. Some of you have legal duties of care. Anyway, producer, let's go to a break. And when we get back from the break, I got a text here, and it's a doozy. Anyway, you're on the clock. Stay tuned, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Another place, another grace would save me. You are the sun.
Hello? Keisha, you something else, boy.
Who this is? Tamika?
You ain't even remember my name?
Wow, Dred. Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning your trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I write here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you got to get your first dose, wait, then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding that under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO, WHO, Canada, and USAID.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Sitting in the railway station with my suitcase in my hand. Going back to where I came from, I have more than I can stand. Of watching them destroy my dreams. They picked my brain till it was clean. When I was up, they knocked me down. I ain't gonna hang around. I'm going home.
Look here, if that railroad could take me straight to Fresh Creek, I am on it. To Pirate's Well, to 7 Mile Beach in outside Governor's Harbor. To that beach in Kiat Island, it was too rough for me to go in the water. Look here, let that railroad take you home. Okay, I got two important texts here. Let's start with this first one. Morning, Erin Green. I'm calling today to talk about how bad the senior citizens are being treated at the Robinson Road Social Service Office. They're still there from 5:30 a.m. The staff talk to them badly. It seems like nobody care about them, but they work for what they're getting. It's not giving to them. Please save. Could you find someone who could stop the bad treatment of the civil servants and the disability? Okay. So somebody's very concerned about the system at Robinson Road. But listen, this is another. It's like we don't realize that the people who we are serving should be the center of the service, right? If I have to come to the office to receive something that is owed to me, that is due to me, don't you know how many people you expect to see in a day, in an hour? Don't you know how many chairs you need? Don't you know how much staff you need to be able to process a certain amount of people in a certain amount of time? Don't you know that people in the 3 score and 10 gang need extra care. You need staff specialized in engaging the elderly and geriatric. Why isn't social services being given the tools and the resources they need to do their jobs and to treat their clients with dignity and respect? How is it that you cut so much money from the social services budget this cycle? Got another text here. Says, could they make a law banning people from sending pictures of dead bodies over the internet, because that is pathetic? The poor and the middle class will pay the taxes, Miss Green. They will pay the taxes. Miss Green, my daughter is actually 6, but what I can't accept is that the policymakers don't see the need to give stiffer penalties to these child molesters. They rather vigilante justice, because it ain't their children's life. Time for all children molesters who rape, no love. I imagine that says time is up. That is a very big issue we need to talk about. See, this is the question of a sex offenders registry, the question of measures, protocols, policies to protect children. These should all be a part of public discussions as well. Okay, one more text. Miss Green, I live in the inner city of Englestown. I don't know about 8 and 9. I heard and seen 13, 14, 15-year-olds in such activities. Some mothers are part of this despicable act, and the low-life men who prey on these people I hate with a passion. But when I was in junior high and senior high in the 90s, the girls loved older men who was out of school. They used to say we was immature. I mean, yeah, you were immature. And obviously the girls were immature too, right? Because they thought the most appropriate place for them to be was with older men who weren't even in school. Yes. But at that age, we all immature. Some of us past that age and still the brain science has not set in yet. Yes. That is how the body works. And that is why society protects young people sometimes even from themselves. But we do have a culture, we do have a culture and cultures where older male relatives are expected to initiate the first sexual experience with their daughter or niece, or in some instances, granddaughter and grandniece. And so, yeah, 8 and 9, it's happening. We've had 10-year-olds deliver babies. It's happening. We have anecdotal evidence of young girls being prostituted by their parents. And we know it's prostitution because there's a selective clientele, only people with money. Okay. Yes, independence is coming soon. So here's the text I wanted to read. Good day. We should only talk about one thing, Miss Green. Potholes, in capital letters. Potholes. One, by PMH. Tourist hit a hole and his wife fell off the bike into the water. So now, Ministry of Works, you want me to pay for my own car rim, my own rim that has to be replaced, because it just is broken up. And now I have to pay taxes towards the road being patched badly once, twice, four times. And now I got to go pay for some tourist who is injured possibly while driving into a pothole. And it may be a tourist I'm already paying to subsidize to come here on vacation. Somebody please make it make sense. Two, massive holes after you pass the old bridge. Car stuck in hole last week. We had to get out in water and assist the elderly lady. Okay, now technically, I don't think that was a pothole. Technically, I think that was construction that was not properly labeled, right? Like the site was not properly marked out according to Ministry of Works standards and protocols. I think that's what happened. Three, huge holes on Seabreeze Road that the MP and Minister of Works refused to address after weeks. Ah, boy. Okay. We're not quite sure where the blame lies, but if you could see me smiling, it lies with politicians. It lies with politicians. Because there should be a national road paving plan, and there should be a national plan for the rainy season. And so if an MP decided that they were going to hire themselves a contractor to come in and do cold patching or road repairs in that constituency, there is a standard protocol that contractor has to refer to. And there should be somebody to inspect that. So there is a pothole number. I read it the other day. I couldn't find it briefly, quickly, you know, preparing. I couldn't find it. But I want to know, when I call that number, will somebody talk to me about compensation for the loss of property? Because I don't expect you to fix every pothole, but I expect you to identify and mark for the driving public every pothole. What are y'all doing? This really doesn't make any sense. That there's so many holes in the road in the rainy season. You know when the rainy season, it's like hurricanes. It's like Christmas. It's not like Easter. Sometimes you got to do the math. You got to calculate for Easter. Producer, let's go to this caller. Dead, quick. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. One second, producer. Let's see. Hold on.
I just want to underscore what you said about national road pavement.
Say that again.
In the rain.
Say.
So you were spot on.
Okay.
And the road doesn't need patching if it's going to be paved next week.
I get you. I'm so sorry.
Your line is very right now.
Yeah, yes. Okay, hang up and try call back. If it's clear, I can take you. Hang up, call back. If it's clear, I will take you quickly. Dear BTC and technical service providers. Anyway, you may have noted there's a theme throughout today's show. And that theme is that we are relying on the people who have jobs and duties of care to do them. People are relying on you for their survival. Producer, I see a green light. Let's see if that's that caller. Good morning, caller. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. Turn down your volume for me.
Yeah, all right. All right, then. You good to go?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, man. You've been ducking these holes for a little while now, for years now.
Mm-hmm.
You've been ducking these holes and ducking. You see, because you got to realize some of them don't ride around with the holes in missing them.
I know, yeah.
See, if they used to ride with the wholesome is, they'll get them
packed right away. Yeah.
You know, so you saw they pay about rest by the prime minister thing. When they walk, when they ride, they're not during the day week. When they go to my week, I got to be sweeping this, and I had to change brake. You know, this is the only country where you change brake often.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be stopping, dodging.
Yep.
And that's why we've been in a lot of accidents too.
Yeah.
Because we're sweeping this way, sweeping that way. And stopping, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The thing with it, man, we have to see, only way we can stop all this, we have to come together and see.
Mm-hmm.
The people, I mean, they ain't worrying, but later on down the future, when they got to come out of the system and ride in the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say you sow what you reap, or you reap what you sow.
Yeah. Well, we gonna reap something. Even if it's just feelings. The only thing you put in the air, in the ground, is feelings. That's what we are going to reap. But thank you. Thank you very much. You're right. And it takes a toll on our bodies as well, caller. the impact on our bodies is tremendous. People are in stress. This is why people are angry. But this is also why they are driving public. You need to put your cell phone down when you are driving. Listen, I come from a long line of good people, you know, and a long line of church people, you know. But I swear, if you hit my car because you was on your phone and you didn't see the hole, you know what I'm saying? Or if you caused an accident because I didn't know what to do, right? And it turns out that you were on your phone and they're Royal Bahamas Police Force. I'm not snitching on people, you know. But what I'm saying is, did you know that you could actually check someone's phone to see if they were on it at the time of the accident? Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm not telling them what to do with their personal life. I'm not judging them with what they do in their house or in their clothes. But when you're on this public road, you have a duty of care to everybody around you. And we're going to need you to start acknowledging that. Well, listen, the most important thing before we go, it seems as if we have an increase in sexual violence against young girls and boys and women. It could be that we are only seeing an increase in reporting of these incidents. But text, the potholes are important, but that's more important. We as a community need to begin to prioritize protecting young people. That's it, and that is all. It's been great this morning. Thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. We're going to do it again next week. What's in the news on this episode of The Bahamas? You're on the clock. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Station with my suitcase in my hand. Going back where I came from, I have more than I can stand. Of watching them destroy my dreams, they picked my brain till it was clean. When I was up, they knocked me down. I ain't gonna hang around.